I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
That is a scene from one of the movies that changed the movies, Animal House. Full name, National Lampoon's Animal House. And it was an extension of a comedy brand that had started about a decade earlier and really changed movies as well as the magazine had changed humor magazines in this country. We're going to talk about both of those with my guest, Ellen Stein, who has written a history of the National Lampoon called That's Not Funny, That's Sick. Ellen, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, glad to be here.
The movie Animal House was written, or co-written at least, by a guy by the name of Doug Kenny, who was also one of the original editors of the National Lampoon. And I see, in reading up on you, that you actually met Doug Kenny when you were in high school, right?
I did, yep. Well, before Doug Kenny started the National Lampoon, when he was still at the Harvard Lampoon, he and Henry Beard, the other one of the co-founders of the National Lampoon, put out these parodies of Time Magazine and Playboy and Life Magazine and Lord of the Rings, which was called Board of the Rings. And I just thought they were great. And I was working as an intern at a radio station while I was in high school. And I knew if these people were doing a magazine, it was going to be really, well, up my street. And I persuaded the radio station to let me interview Doug the month the magazine came out.
Before National Lampoon, the magazine, hit newsstands, the only real humor magazine aimed at a young audience in America was Mad Magazine, right?
Pretty much. Mad was... It was a bit lighter than the Lampoon ended up being. It wasn't as dark. There was also The Realist, which was a more underground kind of thing, and then Monocle, which was a more sort of New Yorkery insider kind of thing. But Mad was really exactly the one that was aimed at a young readership and was more mass market.
Is it safe to say that Mad was aimed kind of at the junior high and high school kids, and the National Lampoon, having been born out of the Harvard Lampoon, was made more for college-age kids?
I think that's broadly true, yep.
So what did that do to impact other magazines? Once the Lampoon was successful, did others follow suit?
In terms of being satire, or...?
Well, both in terms of humor and appealing to that demographic.
Well, Rolling Stone was also appealing to that demographic, and I think probably Rolling Stone had as much to do with alerting people, you know, alerting advertisers certainly that there was money to be made appealing to college-age readers. But I would say with the National Lampoon more than magazines, it influenced show business, as you pointed out earlier, you know.
And between the time that they had the magazine and then the movies, they had a Broadway show. In fact, a couple of Broadway shows, one of which was called National Lampoon's Lemmings.
And Lemmings was off-Broadway. It was down in the Village.
Oh, excuse me. Well, you have a quote in the book from one of the people involved in that show who says that it was a positive show. We didn't all die. We didn't all overdose. And what I find ironic about that is that the show starred John Belushi, who later went on to star in Animal House and, of course, later went on to overdose.
And that is, in fact, John Belushi who said that.
Oh, it was Belushi who said that.
That's why I put it in. I thought, well, this is a little ironic. And it's sad as well, you know, just shows where he started from. And, you know, and after this enormous success, he was always a man of large appetites. And he at one point he had the top selling album in the country, which was the Blues Brothers. He was in the top-rated TV show, which was Saturday Night Live, and the top movie, which was Animal House. And so, you know, no one was going to say no to him.
Let's talk about Animal House. I mentioned at the beginning it was written by, or the idea at least came from Doug Kenny and Harold Ramis.
And
Chris Miller, the three of them put this together. Was it hard for them to get the movie made?
Well, the studio was very keen to get a National Lampoon movie, but then their initial script was apparently much darker and even wilder than Animal House, and it was called Charlie Manson Goes to High School. And Ivan Reitman was producing the movie, and, you know, he said, you know, no one is going to come see this. And the studio read the first draft and was appalled. And, you know, Ivan sort of steered them more towards something that might appeal to a broader audience. But even so, the studio, you know, they didn't think it was going to be a big thing. They thought it was kind of this little sort of small project that, well, you know, they didn't have high hopes for it at all. And then as they started watching the dailies, which was the day shooting, then which was then brought down to L.A., they started going, maybe there's something here. And even though initially they didn't do much publicity for it, they started noticing that, like, long lines of kids were showing up to go see it. So it sort of went viral before the internet existed, I guess, by the old medium of, like, phone calls and people talking to each other.
And it had a big impact on other movies. I mean, without Animal House, there probably isn't a Porky's. There probably isn't an American Pie. There may not be a Hangover and a Bridesmaids, right?
Or Superbad. I think most bromances and any sort of films that combine young men, bad taste and comedy probably owe something to Animal House.
Another one of their hit movies was National Lampoon's Vacation, which is now 30 years old, starred Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo. And I think we're going to have Beverly on the show next weekend to talk about it. But I didn't know until reading your book that that was written by John Hughes, who later would go on to become king of the teenage comedies.
Yeah. It started out as a Lampoon. It was actually a story that John Hughes wrote for the magazine. And then the publisher, Lampoon, having had a successful Animal House, was always keen to get the next one going. And Hughes wanted to get into writing. He also wanted to get into directing right from the get-go. And so he put him to work on adapting Vacation.
And turned into a big hit and spawned a couple of sequels. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I looked on IMDb this morning to see what else National Lampoon is known for, because I couldn't remember anything. And in the last decade, that brand is associated with bombs like Dorm Days and Surf Party and Gold Diggers. All of them have National Lampoon attached to them, and all of them show up late at night on cable TV. I'm not sure they were ever actually projected onto a screen anywhere, Ellen.
Well, what happened is, I should say that my book really covers the magazine from 1970 to 1980 and doesn't talk too much about it after that, because it kind of lost its mojo and all the original people had left, and it wasn't really sort of a force creatively. And within that decade, and I look at, you know, the offshoots, the how it influenced Saturday Night Live, and as you mentioned, the films and radio, and, you know, I mean, Chris Guest was part of their radio hour, and all these people came out of it, and also all the things that went into it. But what happened is it continued to sort of lose steam over the 80s, and then, I'm trying to remember, but certainly, you know, towards the middle of the 90s somewhere, it was bought by venture capitalists who just used it as sort of a licensing thing to trade off the brand name if there was any, you know, power left in the brand name. So, you know, it became like, I don't know, Sears or something. It had nothing to do with the original creative team or any of the original ideas behind it. Became like a you know, business proposition.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, anybody who sees those things on late night cable and watches them will not think of National Lampoon as a brand that is at all impressive. I actually think people will have to pick up your book to see what the history of this is and to see the kind of people who were on there. I didn't know until reading it that Jeff Greenfield, who once wrote speeches for Robert Kennedy and later went on to be one of our best journalists in this country, he was a Lampoon writer.
He was a Lampoon writer, and he did this incredible, he did some amazing sort of prophetic pieces. There wasn't a Lampoon book, but a lot of people worked on Lampoon did this book called The 80s, A Look Back in 1979. And in that book, Jeff Greenfield predicts the Citizen United decision which he thought was satire, was like, oh, this will never happen, ha-ha. Well, there you go. today's satire is tomorrow's news.
Absolutely. Well, these guys were among the best to ever do satire, the men and women behind the National Lampoon. Ellen Stein writes about all of it in That's Not Funny, That's Sick, The National Lampoon and the Comedy Insurgents Who Captured the Mainstream. Ellen, thanks so much for joining me today. Good luck with the book.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend, every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks.